is the Jose Show. Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And today's special guest I have with me, you can catch him in some TV series, United States of Al, The Conners, Mom, and he was also in Days of Our Lives. The movies that you can catch him in, he's got plenty. The Follower, The Zombie Club, Dispatched, and The Bridge. I'd like to introduce to everybody actor Timothy E. Goodwin. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on, Jose. I do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being on. I'm happy to have you here. And, you know, it's afternoon for me and it's morning for you. Have you had your breakfast yet?
I'm all breakfast up. I had some cream of wheat. That makes me sound like I'm really old.
No, you know, when I was young, I used to eat cream of wheat. And it's actually pretty good. I mean, it's more healthier, I guess.
Yeah, not by the time I'm done with it, honestly, but yeah, it starts out healthy.
You probably put lots of butter, maybe some cinnamon sugar on it and milk.
Yeah.
And yeah. I know what you mean. I'm the same way when I do stuff like that. But
one thing I got to tell you, thanks for the beautiful introduction, but I would not be a real actor if I didn't say that I was actually in an Oscar winning film called Promising Young Woman, won for best screenplay last year.
Oh, amazing.
I like to think it's because I said my line so beautifully that they just had to say the whole script was wonderful. But I can't take all the credit for that. That's a nice little thing I like to say that, you know, not many people can say they were in an Oscar winning film. So
I know. Yay. I can.
Yeah. So that's really cool. That's something I'm very proud of. And you know, really is a good movie. So if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. I think it's on HBO right now. And I know maybe Amazon and Netflix. I think they're still there.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah. It's crazy sometimes for me to watch films because now I'm watching films or TV series or documentaries of people that I interview. So like just this week, and my mind is not like it used to be. I used to be able to retain a lot of stuff. So basically I binged watched three movies this week just to prepare for interviewing you. And now if I would have watched them when I first contacted you, I would have forgot about them. So that's what happens when you get old. I'm almost 50. So,
join the club. You know, I'm in the 50s now. Don't tell Hollywood that, but yeah, it's a good place to be. So doesn't bother me at all.
Thank you, sir. So how I first saw you, the wife and I was watching the Follower, and you know, when I saw you, I'm like, you know, I sometimes connect with people, and it sounds weird. You know, I'm like, let me try to contact this guy because he seems like he's a nice guy. And, you know, and it's one of those things I try to contact people and I may not hear from them. It may be a month or two. I had a guy that I contacted and like 8 months later, he gets a hold of me. And I'm like, how did you get a hold of me? Oh, you emailed me back in February. And I'm like, right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I completely forgot. But I'm glad that you responded. And, you know, doing the podcast, a lot of times it does take it takes time. And each episode has different timelines because you figure I watch three movies. Well, technically four. So that's four, five, six. That's 6 hours plus contacting. I'd say I'd have 7 hours plus the interview, eight. So by the time it's all said and done, I have about 10 hours into one episode. And so people can't. Sure, yeah. People can't just come in and do a podcast without doing some homework. But The Follower, you know, to me, you felt like an angel in that movie. And you did some of the stuff that, like, I would do. It's just like myself, I'm clumsy myself. I mean, I spill stuff and I'm just crazy. And I say things just out of the ordinary that I normally wouldn't say. Like, once it hits my head, I say it. And as we were talking earlier, you know, people like to follow the script, but sometimes even if I was to look at a script, I want to kind of ad lib a little bit because I think to me it's more funnier because it just comes to my mind. It may not be exactly what they want. And that's what you were talking about. You just kind of just went your own little path. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to say that my mom tells me I'm an angel all the time. So I think I am. But no, that was a unique situation as an actor in that the character, you just never really knew what was going to come out of his mouth next. So, even though I had a nice script to go by, I kind of use it as more of a guideline. And my co-star, Michael Sigler, he's a fantastic actor and a really, really gem of a man. I think his frustration that you see in his character was not really acting and just more frustration with me, because I just, you know, would just kind of rabbit trail around the script and finally give him his cue line, because it was just fun. I was having a great time, and he ultimately had a great time too. But you just kind of get on a tangent, on a roll, and you have fun with it. And you can't do that with every character. This one was just, you just never really knew what he was going to say. And so it all worked. Editing together was more difficult, because I would change the line every time I did it. So apologies to the editors. But it was just fun all the way around. Of course, Dean Cain came in and did another nice little role of the sheriff for us. And I did say, look, I'm kind of all over the place. And he's like, no worries. And he just followed right along with it. And he was word perfect, but he managed to work it in around my shenanigans. So we had a great time.
Yeah, I've tried to get a hold of Dean Cain several times, and I know he's really busy. So hopefully, eventually I will. Now, how did you actually get started into acting?
Well, I know we have only a half hour show, right? Half hour?
Technically, it goes up to 45. I mean, as long as it's not over an hour, so we're good.
Well, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. So when I was younger and through high school and beginning college, I was actually very, very shy, very introverted. Very, very insecure. And my brother was the exact opposite. He was very outgoing. All the ladies loved him. And, you know, he's taller and darker skinned and more handsome than I am. I really still to this day hate him. I'm just kidding. But he was a little concerned that I was so introverted and so insecure that I would just kind of get lost in college. And I was fortunate enough to go to the same college as him. And so he came up to me and said, hey, dude, I'm auditioning for this play. And I could really use your moral support. Can you come and just kind of sit with me and encourage me and all that kind of stuff? And I was like, sure. But, you know, he had an ulterior motive of trying to get me to audition for the play, because he knew there was this role, non-speaking role. But it was very funny. And I was, even though I was introverted and shy, I was still very kind of a funny guy. So anyway, he tricked me into going to the audition. And when I saw other people auditioning for that role, I thought, hey, I could do that. So I auditioned and got the role. And as soon as I had a live audience and found out my secret power was, you know, my ability to make people laugh, I was hooked, and the rest is history.
Wow. You know, that's interesting.
So technically, if things go really well, I have to give my brother the credit. But if they go really bad, I can blame him. So we'll see what happens.
So far, it seems like you're doing good from what I've seen so far. So that's
a good thing. I got to give him a lot of credit so far. So
yeah, see, I used to do acting. I'm not really shy when it comes to talking to people. You know, I've only been in one short, and that was about 5 years ago. So I'm not really shy. I tend to, like I said, I just fly off at the handle and I just say weird stuff. And I have a friend of mine. I'll post something on Facebook, and she goes, "I like what you post because you put it out there." It's nothing bad, but it's just, like I said, as soon as it pops into my head, it's right there. And I kind of get that from my mom. When she was alive, she was constantly cutting up. She would go to the doctor's office, and we're trying to be serious, you know, but because she was really sick. But she found a way to make the doctor laugh, to make everybody laugh, in spite of all her illnesses that she had. So that's good that you do that.
Well, you know, I'm actually very much like you in the fact that I my filter doesn't really work a lot of the time. And so whatever comes to my head just kind of comes out of the mouth.
There you go.
Unfortunately, you know, it hasn't got me into trouble yet, but hope that luck continues.
So now you've done TV and you've done film. Which do you like better?
It depends on how much you're paying.
That's true too.
No, I do enjoy it all, but I think ultimately TV is it's home, so I don't have to travel as much, which I don't mind traveling, but you know, it's close to home. I go to the studio and then come home for dinner. So it's, you know, being able to, you know, spend time with the family and, you know, stay in town. That's always a nice plus. But I really, other than that, I can't tell you which I like better, because to me, it's just if I'm acting, I'm having a total blast. So
Well, that makes sense.
There are worst ways to make a living. That's for sure.
I know. I'm doing that right now. Yeah. But now when you're okay, so when you filmed the episode of the Conners, mm-hmm. now do you get takes or is it filmed before a live studio audience or do you literally have to memorize that line and not goof up?
Well, there's a difference between a live studio audience show and like a single camera show where there's no audience. And they, you know, it was during COVID, so they didn't actually have an audience come in, but they still filmed it in the same format. So all the producers and everybody are there. And so it's kind of like a little audience there. But anyway, so when you're doing a sitcom like that, I don't know if you've ever watched the like blooper shows.
Yes.
And you see where they're making the mistake and you think, well, they've had a whole week to learn these lines. They've been rehearsing it. You know, can they not remember? Well, what happens is they'll record the script as written. And then the writers all get in a circle and then they give you new lines because they think they can make it funnier. So a lot of those bloopers come because they just literally got the line and said, okay, action. So they don't remember the line because they just got it literally 30 seconds ago. But you know, really you want to have the lines memorized as much as you can, especially being a guest in the show, because you don't want to be the guy that's slowing things down.
Makes sense.
But yeah, you do rehearse it all week. So you kind of know what's going on. So you should know your stuff. And of course, being the guest, I don't have nearly as many lines as the stars in the show.
Yeah.
They have a lot more work to do than the people that come in. But it's just fun. And they're very understanding if you don't get it right, they just say, okay, you know, they'll finish the scene and then they'll go back, unless it's really bad, but they'll go back and redo it or change your line or do whatever. It's not typically a one and done type of thing in that situation. From my experience on sitcoms is they generally try to do the whole show like a play.
Yeah.
To get the audience reaction, the laughter and all that kind of stuff. And then they go back and they do the minutiae of every scene and things like that. So, and that's when it can get, you know, a little bit longer. To me being a guest, I try to just generally, you know, not be the reason they've got to do another take. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
I think myself, if I had to have a choice between the two, I think I would be better at, doing film, because at least they have the script right there. And if you flub up a couple of times, I mean, it's just kind of natural. I mean, I've seen so many bloopers where they do that and it just happens or they're laughing or somebody does something and you have to redo the scene again. Right. Like I said, my memory retention, if it was a line in a TV show where I just said, hi, hey, no problem. I could do something like that.
Right.
You know, but if it's like half a page, I don't know, man, I would have to literally study that.
And there are different types of writers too. There are some that, they're totally comfortable with you making the line your own or, you know, adding a word or taking a word out. And then there's some writers who are like, no, it's gotta be exactly as I've written it. And believe me, whether it's a movie or a TV show, there's a script supervisor there who, if you mess up the line, they're going to come right over and say, okay, your line is this, not that, you know, okay, thank you. And they go on to the next thing.
They're going to be like, follow this. So now when you travel to film a movie, usually how long are you gone and, you know, do they put you up in a hotel or do you have like your own little trailer or so how does that work?
Really, really all depends on the budget of the movie, from the start of your question, how long are you there? And then where do they put you? Yeah. Typically they're going to get you to where you need to be and put you up in a hotel, while you're there. I've gone in for one day on a movie, and up to, 4 weeks. For a movie. So wow. It really depends on the size of the role and the budget of the film.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier is, you know, you're gone for a day or a weekend, not so bad, but you're gone from home for 4 weeks, you know, when you get back, the pets don't remember you. So, so that can get a little, and there's some movies that actually go into, you know, 90 days. They're a big enough budget film. So, so you can be gone for a while. But they take good care of you while you're away, no doubt about it. No matter what size of budget, they're taking care of you.
Well, that's good. Now, is acting the only thing you do? Do you have like a business or any other type of side job that you earn money? I mean, you don't have to answer that if you don't want.
Oh no, I'm fortunate enough to be able to, you know, survive and pay bills just on the acting alone, which is great. Although I have just started a company called Real Characters Entertainment. We're going to start making movies and TV shows and things like that. Our first movie on the slate is a Western called Forgotten. And we're in pre-production on that right now. Very really? Excited about it. So even though I just started a business, it's still related to the business, to the, you know, entertainment. So,
see, I wish all of y'all lived closer to me, you know, living here in Florida. You know, we do have some stuff. Now, I do know you've done a lot of films with JC Films, which is sure. in Orlando, which is, I mean, if traffic is going well, I can be there in about an hour and 15. If gotcha. Traffic sucks, literally, it's taken me almost three hours.
Right, right. So, believe me, I know traffic.
Yeah, it's crazy. So what is it like working in faith-based films versus secular films?
It's not really that much difference. Really, the only difference between any film or production is the size of the budget. You know, when I'm working on big Hollywood movies or big TV shows, yes, I have my own trailer and, you know, I have transportation and blah, 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 blah. You go down to, you know, some of the Jason's films, you know, the lunch budget on a bigger Hollywood show has a bigger budget than his movies. So you know, there isn't always, you know, the lavish lifestyle, I guess we want to say. But really it's not that much different. Once you get to, you know, on set and, you know, action, the camera's there, and it all just comes down to how much money they have and how extra special they can make it.
Okay. Now, are you yourself a Christian?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
Okay. That's good. I mean, you know, I know, cause I had asked this before, to another person. And, you know, I always thought that when a faith-based film comes out, I thought all those were Christians, but it's all about, you know, they're getting a paycheck. So no matter what they are, you know, they're making right. money. And
well, you know, we are, after all, actors. So, you know, if I'm in a gangster movie, it doesn't mean, you know, I live the gangster lifestyle.
True.
So, to me, I'm like, well, why would you require everybody to be a Christian? I mean, if ultimately your goal is to, you know, spread the word, then why wouldn't you want people who are non-believers to come in and join your crew and or cast and witness what's going on? I've heard of people saying you have to be a Christian, and I'm like, I don't understand that. But, you know, to each his own.
I understand.
You know, I don't necessarily follow that requirement at all.
That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Now, I have watched a few films. Like I said, I binged watched some movies. I watched The Zombie Club, and you were a professor, basically. And, you know, at first I thought it was kind of a horror film, but it wasn't. It was kind of horror with some comedy in it. And sure. One of the funniest things I thought was pretty cool is at the end, you know, I don't really want to give anything away, but those little worms that kept farting.
Sure. Yeah.
Dude, I was like, I was just cracking up, and I'm like, my, you know, it's like, that's what I needed. I love to laugh. So what was it like filming that movie with all those teens?
Oh, the kids were great. We all had a lot of fun. Going back to those little grub worm things, that's one of the few times I've just literally been grossed out, because they were real, and they would really move in your hand. They were real.
Oh my goodness.
And so I was totally creeped out, and to have to actually pretend to stick it in my mouth. The kids were, they all like, yeah, bring it on. But I was like, this is gross. but no, the kids were great. They were all very, very professional. Most of them, it was their first time doing anything.
Well, they did really good.
They did very well. Yeah. So we had a great time on that one. The only thing bad I can say about that movie is we were in West Virginia in August. So it's very humid, very hot. And the school we're in, they were so grateful that they let us use the school, but their air conditioning was broken. And we were all melting. It was just so, so hot. But, you take it and you deal with it. Like I said, you know, we're not digging ditches. So, you know, worst ways to make a living. So you just put up with the inconvenience of some time and suck it up and have a good time.
Anyway. Just deal with it. I liked at the end of the film when they showed, you know, like two separate videos, the special effects and then like kind of the real one. And that was actually pretty cool. It shows people how they make movies. And, you know, so they did a pretty good job. See, I wish all films would do stuff like that, because to me, it shows appreciation more for the work and the people that create all the digital and special effects. Because I know to do something like that, you can't just do it overnight. It takes sometimes weeks or months to get all that stuff in there.
Well, the guy Jason uses, Dorian Clevenger, he works on a lot of projects, and he's very, very good at what he does. And so anytime we use him, We just know it's going to be great. So thank you, Dorian. Here's a shout out to Dorian.
Now, I also watched another movie called The Bridge, and it deals with suicide where people jump off this bridge, and you played a coroner. And, you know, in American society today, there's so much going on, not only with adults, but with kids, teenage suicide, even young kids doing it, and adults over various things. You know, maybe the adults got divorced, maybe a kid's parents died, they're bullied. And, you know, it's just sad. And I'm glad that this film was made because it kind of shows you what happens. And there is an out. You don't have to kill yourself. And what was it like making that film, knowing that all this stuff really does exist?
Well, you know, it is different. The very first film I did with JC Films was Finding Faith. And that was about human trafficking and things like that. And, you know, when you're in that particular movie, I was playing a real person. And when you learn about the real things that happened, and, you know, you change scripts around and things like that to make it fit for the flow of the movie and for time constraints. But when you learn the stuff that really, really goes on, you know, movies don't even begin to tell the tale most of the time, because, you know, you can't show that kind of stuff. You know,
that's true.
Movies are getting pretty graphic now, but you still really can't show the true evil that's out in the world. So it's hard to really separate yourself from the story, but we are just actors. So we're there to do a job, and we're there, you know, I'm playing a coroner. So, you know, I'm trying to be as coronerish as possible, if that's even a word. Just so that the movie turns out as good as possible. Now, that particular film we did in the same time as doing another one. So we kind of did two films. I did
two
films in the same day. So I'm having a little bit of a hard time remembering exactly. I know I was on the bridge, did a scene, and I was in the coroner's office. But it is nice to be part of something that is actually trying to make a difference. Because you never, even if we just affect one person, it's worth it. So if we've been able to, you know, positively affect somebody, that's just, you know, it's just wonderful. That's why I like doing comedies, because usually, you know, people feel a little bit better after they watch a funny movie.
Yes.
I like to, in my real life, everyday life, and in my movies, and I just like people walk away and think, boy, I'm a little happier than I was, you know, an hour ago.
That's the way, you know, comedy is the best. You know, they say comedy is laughter is the best medicine. And sure. I tell you one thing, with all this COVID and just all the hate that's going on, you know, we do need a break, and we need to listen to some form of funniness, you know, just either if it's a comedian or a funny movie, just to break up the monotony. And, but yeah, I love to laugh. And when I can sit down and I can watch a comedian and I can sit through the whole thing and not laugh. To me, it's funny because I don't think they're funny, but then I can watch somebody like Carrot Top, and man, I'm just rolling on the floor because I like how he does this stuff. I haven't seen him in a long time, but he always uses props. He'll have a pin or a rubber chicken or something. And I just like that, 'cause I can relate more to physical objects being seen versus talking, you know, but that's just me.
Sure. Well, I don't like to listen to people talk for very long, 'cause I just get bored really, really quickly. But if it's a comedian, you know, 90 minutes goes by, you know, like that. Whereas if I'm listening to, you know, some person to give a lecture on, you know, the scientific science behind a refrigerator, I'm out in 30 seconds.
Hopefully I'm not boring you.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're not at all.
No, I'm just teasing with you.
We're talking about me. How could we be bored?
Now, the other movie that I watched, Dispatched, and you played a preacher. And basically, it's about a cop that just basically he's got a lot of anger issues, and he's just beating the stuffing out of people or just being rude and mean to them and excessive force. So it was pretty cool seeing you as a preacher. You know, he was in there to read the scripture. I'm like, dude, the sermon is over. Let's go, you know?
Well, you know, that's what's really kind of my favorite part about being an actor, a character actor especially, is because I get to, you know, be a preacher one day, a plumber the next, you know, some weird scientist, and then, you know, the goofy guy in the truck. You know, it's just, it's something different every day. So there's no chance of getting bored, which I do quite frequently when I'm not on set. But it's the true joy of being a character actress. You never know what you're going to be. And then when you are something, it's something different than yesterday.
Now, when you guys prepare for these movies, do you guys sit like in a round table and discuss your part that you're going to be doing that day? Or, you know, like what goes on with that?
Well, typically in a bigger budget thing, there's a table read. So the cast and producer and director all get around this big table, like you'd imagine, and just read through the script. And then writers and directors would take notes and about maybe they want to change this or change that, because now that they've had the whole cast read the script, you know, they had some different ideas or whatever. But I think really that is more for, you know, the suits and things like that. They have their meetings and say what they want. And then they tell the director, and then the director tells the actor. So there's not really a whole lot of, you know, unless you are, you know, the producer, actor, director, you know, big star like a Wahlberg or Stallone or something like that, then of course you're going to be in those meetings. But
yeah,
someone who's not a producer and just an actor, I don't get invited to those meetings, and probably rightfully so, because I'd be bored within 30 seconds.
Yeah, you'd be like me. You'd be there sleeping and snoring like.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other day I was on JC Films because, like I said, they have a studio. I don't know if they actually have a studio or if they're renting some at Universal or Disney. And I know in Tampa next month, they're having an actor's workshop. And Jason Campbell's going to do that. So I'm going to try to take that. And cool. Then they're filming another Dean Cain film. I don't know I can't remember the working title right now. And they were looking for just background actors in a park. And I'm like, hey, I could do that. So, you know, sure. I emailed the assistant director, I guess that's what the AD, what they call for AD. And she comes back, she goes, that positions are filled, but we do have a guest walking in a hotel. Would you like to be in that? And I said, yeah. So I'm excited. So she goes, okay. And then I texted her, or I emailed her again. I go, so like what time and what date? Oh, we'll get in contact with you to let you know, all the details once they, you know, find the hotel. So I'm sure. Kind of excited. You know, it's not a big part, but hey, it's something, you know.
Well, I tell you, it's just to be involved in any capacity. I mean, I remember the days when I was doing background stuff, and it was still fun to me. Just to watch, you know, because I'm into cameras and all that kind of stuff. So to watch where they put the camera and how they set the lights, and it was all very fascinating to me. And two, being able to watch how they do it. It's very enlightening, and it's a good education on to what goes into TV and movies and what they have to do to get that final product looking as good as it does.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
You'll have fun.
I'm already thinking of things. Well, if I'm going to be like a hotel guest, do I need to wear like a hat with glasses and maybe a Hawaiian shirt? And
they'll tell you all that.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And so basically, to my understanding, you know, when you do these actors workshops with JC Films, then they kind of get you ready for basically some of their films. Because I noticed in some of the films I started watching, you know, they have pretty much the same actors. And that's pretty cool. Right. I like that. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I know a friend of mine that he does film in Tampa. I'm supposed to be in his probably next month as well. So, and it's not going to be in theaters. It's going to be at a film festival, but it's cool, you know.
It's fun no matter what.
Yeah. I know. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm really excited. So,
well, congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be right up there and be like, yeah. So what is the your most favorite film that you've ever done, or your most favorite speaking part?
Well, as far as having fun doing it, was The Follower, just because I could just kind of pretty much say whatever I wanted. Not that that's always a good thing, but it was a lot of fun. I just did a series for HBO called Minx. It'll be out on in the spring, I believe. And I was a recurring, so I got to do like 4 episodes out of the 10.
Wow.
And it was just a fun character. I had these big lamb chop sideburns, and we had a lot of fun doing it. It's hard for me to narrow down my favorite, because if I'm on set and I'm acting, I'm just having an absolute blast. So to say, you know, this was my favorite, just whatever I've just done is newest in my mind. So
that's good.
So that's always a lot of fun. So, but But yeah, I think to date, because it was, you know, recurring role, that's not something you get very often.
No.
So that's kind of stuck on my head right now. So keep your eye out for that one. Not for children, but
okay.
Keep your eye out for that one.
I'll have to look that up. I don't have HBO or HBO Max or anything, but I'll check that out once it comes out. I'll usually wait till all the episodes and then I'll do the free trial. It's like,
I'm sure you'd binge it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, what is your favorite movie and your favorite actor? Do you have one?
Well, this time of year, I always pull out Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because it is just what I consider to be the perfect comedy. It makes you laugh. And at the very end, you're like, what are these things coming out of my eyes? John Hughes was just a great filmmaker. And John Candy, you know, he was a great funny guy.
Yes, he was.
He's no longer with us, unfortunately. So, you know, this time of year, I just kind of go to that. That's kind of my go-to movie. But I love anything that is funny, charming, heartwarming, buddy cop stuff. I love that. I don't know what else to say as far as favorite movie other than that right now. That's something I'll watch every year.
Every year.
And several times a year if I get the chance.
It's like, I like Christmas Vacation and
Back to the Future. That one too. So funny.
Yeah.
Back to the Future. That's a great. Yeah. See, now Indiana Jones, the trilogy, I think, yep. And Star Wars, the original three Star Wars. I think that would have to really be my ultimate. I don't care if, you know, if the apocalypse are happening and Star Wars are starting, I'd say, hang on, apocalypse. Let me finish this movie real quick. that would have to be, yeah. Star Wars, Indiana Jones. Those are my favorites.
Yeah. They're coming out with another Indiana Jones movie.
Sure.
So I guess that's going to be it for Harrison Ford, because I don't think he can do much more after that as far as any type of action. I mean, he's getting up there, you know?
I think he actually got injured, didn't he? They had to stop filming for a while on that.
Yeah.
But Harrison Ford, you know, come on, let's face it. He's done two iconic roles that any actor would, you know, give their left arm to do one, but he got to do both of them, you know, Han Solo and Indiana Jones. So, he's fantastic. And, you know, the two characters are very, very similar,
yes,
quite honestly. So I imagine that's very much like he is. Although he's very, very shy and very quiet in interviews and stuff like that. But that, you know, but he's great. He's great at it. And wish I could do that.
I know, right? You never know. You're starting your own production company thing, so maybe you can do a type of movie like the Indiana Jones or something.
Well, see, there you go. See, that's you know, if they won't cast you in Hollywood, then do it yourself, right?
That is it. I mean, I probably could do it too, but I don't have a big budget. I'm just by myself. But well, let me tell you, it has been fun talking to you today. Now, if you have any like final words, any advice that you would like to give anybody that wants to get into acting or just anything in general, go ahead and share that and then share your social medias.
I would say that, you know, if you have a desire to do acting or directing or whatever, learn everything you can about it. Get involved like you are in as many productions as you can. And you know who you are as an actor. You know, I know that I'm, you know, the fat old balding guy. So if I want to go be Tom Cruise, I'd be very disappointed because I'm not Tom Cruise. To know who you are and then just work hard at it and never quit. No, it's not going to happen overnight.
Yes.
You know, we may be talking about the projects I've done for 30 minutes today, but I've been in Hollywood for 21 years.
Wow.
So it doesn't happen overnight. Just be patient and don't quit. And if you want to follow me, I'm on everything. I'm Tim E. Goodwin at Time Goodwin on Twitter, which I never go to Twitter. I hate Twitter. Sorry, Twitter. But I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Tim Goodwin or Timmy the E. Goodwin. I'm on twice for Facebook. One is, you know, Tim Goodwin is if you want to see what I had for lunch, and Timmy the E. Goodwin is everything that I do, TV and movies. And then Time Goodwin on Instagram. Those are the two I go to the most.
Yeah, I looked at your Twitter, and I think the last thing you posted was about 2017.
Yeah, I just Twitter with all the hashtags and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Just, it annoys me. Maybe I should have somebody do it for me. Then at least I have a presence there.
Oh, there you go. And if anybody would wants to reach The Jose Show, if you go to Facebook and search for The Jose Show, I have a page and a group. And on Twitter, I am at Jose Roldan Jr. I don't want to spell it because I've been spelling it for like the last 80 something episodes. And on Instagram, I am the Jose Roldan. And today we were talking with actor Timothy E. Goodwin. And it has been a pleasure to have you on the show. And, you know, hopefully we can do it again. And, you know,
anytime. The pleasure's all mine, Jose. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, you're great. I mean, we'll definitely do it again. You know, once I do my little walk-on part, hopefully, you know, I'll let you know how it goes. And, but I do appreciate you being on the show. And, make sure you share this episode with your friends, families, and enemies, because I guarantee they will no longer be your enemies. See you, and hear you. I'll hear you on the next episode of The Jose Show.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.